Yeah, it was not a beautiful song. That's Chrysalis there from the musician and actress Donna Anita Nicolaison. Am I pronouncing your name right, Donna?
Nearly. Nicolaison. You did Nicolaison. A pretty good job. Okay. Tricky one.
I'm not too sure. Yeah. And I'm interrupting you. I believe you're in the middle of a session there at the moment in the studio.
No, I was actually doing voiceover work because I work as an actor and voiceover artist as well. So, but I've just finished, so no, you have my full attention now.
Okay,
thank you for getting me on the show. Thank you so much.
I haven't had time to look up your resume. So, how many albums have you done so far?
This is the first one.
Oh, great. Okay, yeah. So how have you found it? Like the transformation from acting into songwriting. I know you probably always did it, but sort of getting down and saying, "Oh, this is it. I'm going to get more into this," and that sort of thing.
You know, it's funny, Noel. It's like it's always been a part of my life. Honestly, like I was born in Dublin, but I was brought up in Cork, and I was writing songs since I was a teenager, but I always wanted to also be an actor, do you know what I mean? So, and I also loved art and visuals. So they've all kind of been part of my life since I was a child. And I suppose music, you know, it just evolves. So, you know, for example, if I've been acting for many years now, but a lot of the songs that I write have a kind of a strong, or they're almost character driven. Mm-hmm. And I also do a lot of design, so there's a lot of visuals in the songs as well, and there's a strong nature kind of backdrop to it.
Yeah,
because I find nature very, very healing. So it's not mutually exclusive. So it's actually, I suppose, I chose acting as my profession, but music has always been there as a healer in my life.
In a certain way, though, I think they're both really the same, aren't they? Anyway, they're telling stories that's coming from within the person themselves. I mean, when you're acting, you're given an interpretation, maybe of someone else, and when you're singing, you're given an interpretation of yourself, which is probably the difference.
Yeah, I suppose with the acting, you are interpreting a script, you know, or a play or a film script or whatever, but you are bringing something of your own self into that, you know, if your own, if you had been in that situation, because you have to justify, you know, you have to understand how you would feel as that character and put yourself in that character's shoes. So you are bringing a flavour of yourself into it. And then I suppose with the music, because I'm creating it from scratch, it is very much drawn from me, but I get inspiration from, you know, nature or like there's one song called A Broken Rhyme, and it's inspired by Mary Shelley, and there's a book called Old Merlane, which is a child's book, you know, about this whirly strange land under the sea, and that inspired me to write Old Merlane. It's kind of an escapist song, so I suppose you get inspiration from everywhere, don't you?
Indeed, and sort of because of the way I've been looking at what the music is about and listening to it as well. The question I would ask you, for instance, you know, again, I'll sort of coal it with acting, like when you get a part, you sort of sit down and think about how am I going to approach this and that sort of carry on. So when you got the idea in your head, you said, well, okay, I'm going to write this album and I'm going to do this album. Had you got it in your head what you were going to do, or did it come to you in stages? What way did it come to you? I have a reason for asking that question something.
No, it's a really good question, actually. I feel that each song came to me often through an intense emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Like it could be a primal wound of loss. It could be a sense of missing someone, a love affair gone wrong, or it could be just a melancholy about something, or joy, or a sense of adventure. I went traveling to the Middle East and Asia a few years ago, many years ago now at this stage, but it feels like just a few years ago. But that sense of adventure, and I went to a lot of deserts and stuff, and that kind of was an inspiration for one of the songs called Arabia. And you know, I've always loved rivers, and there's a song called The Opposite of Love, and one of the lines is, you know, I don't want to be like the river that pulls you under, pulls you under and under again. So the river being symbolic of melancholy, I guess. So the inspiration would have, often my inspiration comes from an intense feeling about something happening in my life, mm-hmm. which then evokes a very strong feeling, and then a word will come, mm-hmm. and then I'll build a little narrative around that word or a little melody around that word, and then the song will be born, and then it usually comes quite quickly, mm-hmm. and then I suppose over time then I might tinker around with the song and it might evolve into something slightly different than originally, but the original thought or impetus is, if it's strong enough to make me feel, if the intensity of the feeling was strong enough to bring it into creation, then it means something to me. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah, I understand it. Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at as well, because like the moods and the changes within the song.
Yeah,
it had to do something at the time. So it's not a matter of, I imagine now, it could be completely wrong, it's a matter of a formative writing where you say, well, I'm going 8 o'clock this morning until 5 o'clock tonight, I'm going to sit down and write a couple of songs. It's not that type of format.
Yeah. I don't tend to write that way. Mm-hmm. I suppose everybody's different, but like there's one song there called Erzurum, and that's a place that I visited in eastern Turkey near Cappadocia years ago. But at the time when I visited there, or when I travelled there, it was autumn. So there was lots of, you know, beautiful mm-hmm. leaves in the air, and, you know, the kind of golden colour of the leaves and the russet colour of the leaves. And years later, I was living in Dublin, and I was just walking down Moorhampton Road, and just the flash of the sense of being in Erzurum years before came back to me, mm-hmm. coupled with a few other things that was going on in my life at the time. Mm-hmm. And then this song was born, but I named it Erzurum because I was trying to, the concept behind it was, how can I go, am I so different from the person I was 10, 15 years ago when I was in Erzurum? Do you know what I mean?
A lot of reflection.
And this whole notion of, it's all, exactly, there's a lot of reflection going on. And,
well, it's great.
They create melodies. And often, I suppose, when I was very young, if I was ever very upset about something, the emotion would come, but I'd often sing a song afterwards mm-hmm. to make me feel better, or a melody. And so my relationship with music has been one of making me feel better after feeling something that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course,
you know,
yeah.
Everyone has a different relationship.
Yeah, I think that relates to everybody, because I love to see young people playing instruments, singing, whatever they may do, because it has a way of expressing stuff and bring out all sorts of things, and good, bad, or indifferent. If you play an instrument and you're feeling terrible and you bash the shit out of the guitar, it makes you feel good. If you're feeling sad, if you feel sad and you're melancholy and you play the guitar, it still makes you feel good. That's my interpretation of music, and it's great for
absolutely.
Everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes feeling sad isn't a bad thing. Mm-hmm. You're just working through it, but the beauty is, if you can write down the words or find some sort of melody, then you can always go back to that in the future. You've created something out of that feeling. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It can be a good thing.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question I asked a musician a week ago, and it came to me as I was talking to him. So I'll ask you the same question, because you mentioned involvement there. At the beginning of it, when you're sitting down in a simplified sense of writing a song, and you say, oh, that's good, I enjoy that, and the words are there, the whole concept is there. Then you go into a studio, and then you see a change. Or did you see a change? And if it did, were you happy with the change, the way it has evolved?
Not a good question.
Why not? Why not?
You're good. You should be on the radio.
Why not? Why not?
Why? I suppose, you know, so I would have written all these songs, and then I was a divil for going back and making little changes and tinkering around with things. But, you know, once I kind of was pretty happy with that's the way the song is, mm-hmm. then I went into the studio for Laura Bjeltsina. The album's called Laura, and the first EP is called Laura Bjeltsina, which is the lore of Bjeltsina being like spring, summer.
Growth, yeah.
And it's for growth. It, for me, it symbolises kind of growth and blossoming of ideas. And second half of, or the second EP, which is essentially the second half of the album, is Lower Samhain, which I released a few days ago, and that's more of a return to earth. Those songs tend to be more about a return to earth, and each song dips into a month. So each song is kind of sprung from the landscape of a separate month, from January to December.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose the Lower Bealtaine is more spring, summer, and Lower Samhain is kind of autumn, winter, mm-hmm. going towards February. So anyway, the thing about the, when I went into the studio, I worked with Sam Jackson on Lower Bealtaine primarily, and with Bill, he's a jazz pianist, and Ewan Cowley played guitar for me. And the second album, half the album, Lower Samhain, I worked with Bill Shanley,
mm-hmm.
who's a producer and a guitarist. And so I decided before I stepped into the studio that when you've created something, okay, you've created it, but then when you start collaborating with other people, like a pianist or a mm-hmm. guitarist or some whatever, you've got to let it go a little bit.
Indeed, yeah.
Because there can be magic in that. And I think I found it easier to do that because I've done quite a few plays, theatre, and like that's very collaborative. And say you start off with your script, the lines on the page, and then you look underneath the subtext and all that, and you have mm-hmm. the characters. But then it's only when you work together in an ensemble, or you're collaborating, you're creating the play, the world of the play takes over, and you have to allow other people's creativity to come in. Well, mm-hmm. within reason. Yes. Obviously, if they wanted to give it a totally different sound, I'd be like, well, actually, you know, that's not supposed to be a rock song, really.
Yes, indeed.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't.
Wrong, but
in fairness, mm-hmm. I don't think there's any musician alive, I don't think, if I was to ask them the question of from start to finish, when come out of the studio, did it change? I'm sure most of them would say it did, and you know,
change.
Be happy.
Yeah.
As you say, it's a collaborative effort. I mean, look at the Beatles with Martin and George Martin and stuff like that. The work
exactly.
they do with them, yeah. So,
I think it's wonderful. Then when it does become something that is a little different to what you maybe had originally. It's still your concept. It's still your thought. It's still your idea. But you've brought it to different places because you've worked with someone, and you know there's a million ways to interpret anything.
Well, can I tell you?
There's no right or wrong, is there?
Yeah, I can tell you a funny thing. I was talking to a musician many, many years ago, and this sort of subject came up on say for tours, and I don't know what way it works today. You see a lot of artists doing acoustic stuff and maybe working with less people. But I'm going back now, maybe 20 years. And I remember the guy saying to me that there was one particular song he did, and he's never happy doing it with a band. He always wants to do it on his own, acoustically. And he tried to manage it in all the concerts, but could never always get away with it because a lot of the crowd would be disappointed and stuff like that. So he used to, when the gig would be finished, if he had to do with the band, he'd end up just sitting in the dressing room playing it the way he wanted to play it and the way it was, the original concept was. That's rather funny, isn't it? I found that rather funny.
I think that it is funny. It's kind of sad though, because if he felt that that song should be very intimate and just him and the guitar, then that's the way it should
mm-hmm.
be. But maybe with the band around it, it's connecting better with the audience. I don't know. It's
of course,
a funny one.
Of course.
There's a couple of the songs now, Sparrow and Erzurum. Actually, I played guitar on that just myself, so it was really just me on the guitar. And all the harmonies I do myself as well, vocally.
Mm-hmm.
So those songs are quite intimate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the other songs, Bill Shanley or Ewan Cowley play guitar on them because they're amazing guitarists, you know. but it's nice just to pair things back as well.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know when to do that, I suppose.
Okay, and you know? Is the album available at the moment, Donna?
Oh yeah, it's best place to find it all is that I have a website, donnaanita.com, and I have a music page there, and it's got all the links to Amazon, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, so it's all up on all the virtual stores. So you can, from that page, donnaanita.com, on the music page, you can find the links to all the two EPs, which is the album, and all those stores, and also I'm on Bandcamp. donnaanita.bandcamp.com. You can download it from there. But it's also on YouTube. So if you go to Donna Anita Lower Bealtaine, or Donna Anita Laura Sowen on YouTube, mm-hmm. you'll be able to access either EP and have a listen. And I've done a video as well for Chrysalis, which is, I think, the song you just played there. And that was shot in Dunmore East in May. And that song is actually set in May. So it was kind of fortuitous that we filmed it then as well. Yeah, yeah.
So now the work start as well as the CDs out there, and it's a terrific. I have to say, I listened to a good few of some of the tracks, and I listened to the rest of them. But it's really terrific, and it's quite laid back, and it some of the words makes you think. So the gigs will start soon. Has there anything on the horizon for you? You're a busy lady.
Yeah, I'm pretty busy. I've done quite a bit of film work and TV work the last couple of years, and obviously that's my main job, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed so much, you don't see it as a job, but it is a job. And so I've got some film and TV production coming out in 2020, and that's great. And then with regards to the music and gigs, I would love to gig. I've moved down to Kilkenny recently, but I'm actually having a baby in March. So I'm going to have the baby first, and then
that'd be a good idea.
Then start doing, you know, maybe work with another guitarist, and start doing some smaller gigs. Maybe start in Kilkenny or Cork, my hometown, or whatever. But would love to get out there and you know, sing into the microphone. I love doing that. So that would be cool. And I have a Facebook page, Donna Anita Music, so I'll definitely let people know when I have a gig coming up. And I was thinking of doing that kind of a song journal as well from January, because each song starts kind of was inspired. Like, I wrote the song, but I used the feeling of the month in the song, if you know what I mean.
So yes, indeed.
The Silent King is kind of like the character of winter, and he falls in love with this spirit, or this little kind of angel, who in turn falls in love with the spring, the personification of spring. And so that's kind of set in January, and I'd love to maybe do a little video or an acoustic video, or put up some ideas of what the song is about, or, you know, talk a bit about the song each month through Facebook, like a little song journal.
And you're based here. Do with the acting and that, do you have to travel quite a bit, I imagine?
Well, yeah, I was up in Ballina there a few weeks ago, because I was in Wild Mountain Time, and so I had a day on that film, and so that was really cool. And then I did the Southwesterlies, which is like a dramedy, going to be out in early next year, and play Lucy Doyle is the character I play in that, and that I filmed that in Wicklow. So there's a bit of travelling. I haven't travelled outside of the country yet, but who knows?
Okay, that's that will come with the music. There's no doubt about that, because your music, and listening to it will travel anywhere and be understood everywhere and be enjoyed worldwide.
Oh, that's so kind of you to say
that. Really,
no,
great.
Thank you.
It's been a great pleasure, Tour. Give us all the details again of your website, where people can hear the music again.
I'd love to. My website is donnaanita.com. So that's donnaanita.com. And on the music page of that site, you'll get all the links to Spotify or Amazon or iTunes, where you can download the music. And I have a Bandcamp profile on donnaanita.bandcamp.com. And then, of course, you can go to YouTube and search for the two EPs as well, Laura Bialtina and Laura Sowen. So,
okay. That's great. Yeah, okay, well, I'm going to play the second song in November, and good luck with everything for the future. The record is absolutely great, and starting off the new band with the baby in March, a new member of the band.
Yeah.
Okay. Good luck with that.
Ladies member. Backy vocals.
I look forward to, don't forget where it all started, so and give us a shout. But thanks very much.
Absolutely. No, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Having me on.
Thank you. Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.